Once again, at the Pleasant Street Tea Company, I'm Rick Moore, along with Heather Atwood, with the story behind the recipe, and storyteller that you are, Heather. I don't know where to begin today, but did we haven't done any pregame prep here, so this is strictly off the cuff. Did you do any research on 41 and 40?
Yes, I do.
Oh, why the look?
You're gonna know why the look.
Okay.
Very soon. Yeah,
okay.
We're at 41 and 40.
Okay.
Hold your breath.
Okay.
Hold your nose. Okay. Mm-hmm. Number 41 is something called stinky tofu.
Well, see, automatically.
I kid you not.
No,
this list is getting worse and worse for you, Rick.
No. It's weird because I look at tofu and I think that's a piece of cardboard. So how could it possibly have an aroma? But
right.
Lead on.
And you think it's bad enough just as it is plain, but let's make it stinky right?
Tofu.
So stinky tofu is apparently a real thing in Southeast Asia and China. People, it's a cultural thing. People love it. Apparently it smells so bad that there can only be restaurants that only sell stinky tofu. They can't serve anything else because it smells so bad in there. Everybody has to be wanting to eat only that.
How can you eat something if it smells bad?
Well, you know, this was leading me. I was wondering about that. I was thinking, this is so interesting because, I mean, it's supposed to be revolting, but it is number 41 on the list of most popular dishes, right? So
mm-hmm.
A lot of people like it. It's a street food there, but I was thinking culturally, it's just so interesting how palates are, right? And that made me come up with the list. I Googled the five tastes, right, which are sweet, salty, bitter, sour, and umami. Those are the
umami.
One.
Umami.
Umami.
Umami. What,
yeah.
What the hell is that?
That's we actually have a cell on our tongue that can sense protein. And that was a key cell to have back in the old days when we really needed to find some protein. So protein exists in weird places. And by tasting something, and we said, oh, wow, that tastes really good. My little umami cells on my tongue are happy. That means we're going to get some protein.
Oh.
So, for instance, soy has protein. And so these are things that mushrooms have an umami taste. It's you know, we would also say savory. But there is some protein, believe it or not, in mushrooms. So there are those five tastes. But then there are these finer senses that do not come from your cells. They are delivered in different ways, but they exist in our systems.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, I'm going to list them for you. Ready?
Yep.
Pungency, coolness, numbness, astringency, metallicness, calcium, fattiness, heartiness, temperature, and starchiness. We have senses that taste all those
makes
things.
Sense, yep.
And I think in some cultures, that first one, pungency, just gets developed. That's where the stinky tofu lives, right? And I think if you grow up smelling that stuff, if you're in utero and you smell that stuff and it's a, you know, in your mother's bloodstream, truly, I know a kid who was adopted from Vietnam, and that kid, like as an infant, wanted hot food.
I mean, spicy hot.
Yeah. I mean, and he was adopted.
Yeah.
So, and I know when he was like a toddler, he was the one at the pizza place, like dumping the red chili flakes on the slice of pizza. So, I think it's something that ends up being either cultural or environmental. But
I found
not
some
stinky
old
tofu.
Wet socks in my basement. Do me a favor. This is a great story behind the story, but if you ever cook this stinky tofu,
yeah, I never will.
Don't invite me.
You know, I really enjoy fermentation. In fact, I went to a miso lecture this past weekend.
A what lecture?
Miso. Miso is fermented. It's fermented soybeans, generally. Other things. The radio audience, he's making a face.
Yeah,
once again.
We should video these.
I know. So anyway, I like fermentation, but stinky tofu, I don't think I could do. When I read about it, and I read about the people's responses to it and how it smells, like they'll say an open sewer smells better.
Wow.
It's really supposed to be bad.
Okay.
So, but and yet it's number 41.
Well, that's funny because I remember back in the day when I was a kid, my mother, for some ungodly reason, would buy liver. And cook liver, and that was the worst aroma in the house for me.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, yeah, liver is pretty bad.
Okay.
But it is interesting how limited your palate is. We could talk about that another time.
Okay, I think you might need a psychologist to figure that out. All right, what about number 40?
Okay, number 40, we go to the other extreme of... You're not going to like this one either, okay? Marzipan. The faces. He makes the best faces, right? But even I am a little bit bewildered by this number 41 and 40. I like marzipan.
What is it? Am I supposed to
know? Oh, you don't even know? It's a confection made with almond paste. And in Germany, they are very popular in Germany, okay, and Eastern Europe. And they're often...
See, I thought it was a boat in China. That's what I thought that was, marzipan.
No. Marzipan is made with ground almonds, and it's made into a paste. And in some cases, it's just straight ground almonds, but in others, they do add sugar, so it's pretty sweet. And they shape it into fruits, different shapes, mm-hmm. right? That's a really popular thing to do. And they paint it, so it looks exactly like those fruits. So it's these very colorful...
Sounds interesting, yeah.
Yeah, they're beautiful, but they're heavy, you know? They're really more decorative, I think.
Is this a European dish? You said
yes,
Germany?
Yeah. Okay. They're not eating marzipan anywhere in Southeast Asia, I promise you. But and you see it around here, Cafe Sicilia. It's an Italian thing, too, I guess. Cafe Sicilia has it.
I did okay in school in math and science, but if... You know how they talk about the different intelligences and stuff? If I had to try to graduate in a food school, oh my God, it would be awful.
You would definitely not be a magna cum laude student.
I can tell.
But that's okay because you're willing to listen to me.
I'm learning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to try it all.
No, I know that. And I'm with you there.
Okay, so what else do we have? Update on the other cape, or where are we going?
Okay, so the other cape is rolling along. We put two stories up this week. One was on winter surfing. I think I maybe meant with... we have some beautiful pictures of people winter surfing. Mm-hmm. And we have a story about a beautiful home in Rockport that was renovated and designed by... It was purchased by a young woman and her family, and then she had her friend design it. But I had a fun little venture with the other cape this week. Two fun ventures. Nothing to do with food, so I'll talk fast, okay?
No, okay.
I interviewed Jan von Techner from the Innovation House in Gloucester. Do you know about the Innovation House? Well, he's an Icelandic guy who started the browser Opera and sold that eventually, and then he moved to Gloucester because, as he said, I have to do it with an Icelandic accent. The storms are like Iceland, and the weather is like Oslo. Okay?
Okay.
So his home base was Oslo.
That wasn't that great.
It was terrible, right? I know. So anyway, the storms are like Iceland, and the weather's mm-hmm. like Oslo here. Mm-hmm. And he hates Silicon Valley. So he chose to live here, and he started a new browser called Vivaldi. Mm-hmm. And he's here in Gloucester,
okay.
Magnolia, yeah.
And you have the whole story on the other cape? Or
it
will be
up? It will be up, yeah. Okay. But that'll be a couple weeks. But then I also interviewed this lovely girl. I'm going to send everybody to her website. Her name is Bridget Hunt, and it's called My Life with the Husband. And she is really interesting. She's 31. She married her college professor. He was a widower with four children. His wife had recently died of liver cancer. And she married him as a young woman, had two more children. So now she has six children. She's 31 years old. She's gorgeous. She's absolutely beautiful. She has amazing style. She's raising these kids, and she has a great sense of life and humor. And we will do a story on her on the other cape.
Great.
Yeah.
Wow, that's something to look forward to. All right, anything else you want to mention?
Yes. I had a meeting with a bunch of people from Gloucester, and it is going to be one hot summer for fish, okay? We have so many great fishing events coming up. It's all going to be packaged sort of to the world in one big come to Gloucester and understand fish. But I will break it down real quickly. In May, I'm going to get wordy here, the people from NOAA who have been in charge of reinvigorating the Magnuson-Stevens Act. Mm-hmm. That's the act that, you know, regulates the fisheries. They're meeting in Gloucester. It's a big meeting. It's a big policy meeting. The public are not invited, but this is a big deal that these people are coming to Gloucester. They've chosen to come to Gloucester this year for their meeting. That's in May. In July, there's going to be a the public are is invited to this, a big party for the Northeast Seafood Coalition. The title of this party is No Fish, K-N-O-W, More Science.
Okay.
It's a fundraiser to support the scientists who are going out and doing the science on the fishing and to, you know,
excellent.
Counting. Right. And then in August, there's going to be a big gala celebrating Angela Sanfilippo's 40th year.
Wonderful.
With the Gloucester Fishermen's Wives.
Great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Right.
So
yeah.
More on that later.
Yeah. Yeah.
All
that's
right.
Coming.
Thanks.
Yeah.
All right. There you go from Pleasant Street Tea Company with the story behind the recipe. That's Heather Atwood.